We are looking here at the BBC salaries with envious eyes. My goodness, our eyes are green. Some of the people here, I don't actually know who they are. So my producer, Ricky, will steer me through some of them. Darcy Bursell, what exactly does she do on the TV? You don't know either.
she's a name I know, Darcy Bursell. I know that name.
All right, she's got something to do with Strictly Come Dancing or something like that.
Dancing is in my head, yeah.
But the reason that we're saying this, we know her name, but we're not sure what she does. However, the next one, male.
Ballerina, come to me.
Yes, but she doesn't get paid that for dancing.
No. Strictly Come Dancing, yeah,
right,
she doesn't.
Right,
yeah.
So that's what she does. Male from Mel and Sue.
Mel Giedroyc, I think her name is.
Yes, she's incredibly popular. Now, the reason that we're talking about these people so quickly in the conversation, and the chap, Paul Martin, who's on Homes Under the Hammer and whatever, is there at the low end of the scale. They're earning 150,000 to 199,000, 150 to 200,000. I would have thought Mel would have been in a much higher bracket. She's a success story.
She fronted Bake Off with Sue Perkins, you know, the biggest show on BBC for years. So it's surprising that she is so low, and I'm sure people will be looking at the fact that she's female to say why she's so low. So that'll be an interesting one to see what people say about it.
Or she's going to have to actually get a better manager, because this is about cutting deals as well. Now, it's a bit misleading, the likes of Gary Barlow and Len Goodman, because they contribute to one-off programmes, and I suppose that's what Darcy Bursell does as well. They're in the 200 to 250 £1,000 bracket. Nick Knowles, who's a presenter, he does that programme where he renovates people's houses, doesn't he? He's on £350,000. Alec Jones, who most people would know from the One Show, she's on £450,000 from the One Show. Now, Current Affairs, some of the people who people would recognise: Ben Brown, very capable presenter; Gavin Essler, James Naughty, Sophie Raworth, very skilled presenter; John Pienaar. We're talking about people here who are on £150,000 to £200,000 pounds. Others who are on the £200,000 to £250,000 pounds: Victoria Derbyshire is on £250,000 pounds. Laura Koonsberg, very skilled presenter as well, £250,000 pounds. Andrew Neil is on £250,000. George Alagaya is on £250,000 to £300,000, as is Nick Robinson. Eddie Mayer is on £300,000 to £350,000. Now, Adrian Childs, who's an incredibly talented presenter, is only on £150,000 to £200,000. Moira Stewart is on £150,000 to £200,000. Joe Wiley is on the same bracket, £150,000 to £200,000. Mark Radcliffe, who did Glastonbury and who does Radio 6, I think it's 6 Music, he's on £200,000 to £250,000. Ken Bruce, BBC Radio 2. Scott Mills from Radio 1, I think, is £250,000 to £300,000. Lauren Laverne is £300,000 to £350,000. Nick Grimshaw is the £350,000 to £400,000 bracket. Simon Mayo is also £350,000. £350,000 to £400,000. We're getting into some of the serious money, people. Now, we're moving towards big money here. I think to most people, all of it's big money so far, but this is big money. £400,000 to £450,000. Nicky Campbell, who's he does Watchdog, doesn't he, as well as Five Live. He does that Sunday morning program too. He does a Sunday morning, you know, round the tables type program with an audience. Steve Wright, a master, an absolute master of the game for many years, is on half a million. There's only one other person close to half a million. Let me speak to Don Anderson, who's against the publication of BBC salaries. Don, good morning.
Good morning. I thought you were referring to me as being on more than half a million.
Yeah, Don, let me just pause here for a second, because we're looking for the only local person who's on serious, serious money. And he's just behind Chris Evans, Graham Norton, Jeremy Vine, John Humphreys, who are just over the half million, on up towards £1 million. But raking in almost half a million pounds. The only person in Northern Ireland, and here, there's applause. I'm giving this man applause. There's only one man in Northern Ireland raking in half a million quid, and that's Stephen Nolan.
Yeah, that makes sense. That man works very hard. Some people think he's working too hard. He's sometimes in Belfast, sometimes in London. He's never off aircraft. He puts in the hours.
He does put in the hours. He's on BBC Five Live. He's on Radio Ulster. He's on BBC Television. Half a million quid is a significant pay packet. You can put in the hours, but, you know, we could all put in the hours. We wouldn't get half a million.
No, but what it comes down to with this is you're paying the market price for talent. All broadcasters, whether they're BBC or commercial broadcasting like U105, they're all in a marketplace for talent. And you've got to actually pay the market price for talent. Now, you can argue whether or not you've overpaid or underpaid, but in broadband, that's the name of the game. And frankly, you've got to pay.
Yeah, but Don, do you really hear in Northern Ireland? Because, you know, Stephen, I'm sure, would be snapped up by LBC, Sky News. There's lots of international Fox News. There's lots of international platforms that certainly would take him because of his talent. But there's no one in Northern Ireland that could afford to pay that sort of money. So why would BBC Radio Ulster be paying maybe £250,000 for his services? They absolutely don't need to pay that money. They will not lose him to a rival in Northern Ireland.
You can possibly make that argument, although, I mean, clearly a good measure of his salary is paid from the national purse rather than the local purse. I would suggest the local purse is, you know, a good deal smaller than maybe 250.
Yeah, but if we look at what other people are getting across the water and what Stephen does on Five Live, for instance, at night, it's probably about 250 for his national work and 250 for his local work.
That possibly is a good guess. The thing is that he is, you know, he is a talent. He's bringing in the audience. There's no doubt about that. So therefore, the editors in the BBC have decided that somebody like that is worth the money. And if you remember this, broadcasting actually has a big expenditure in talent. The on-air talent is what makes the broadcasting. You are what makes your program. You're worth it. The 150,000 you're being paid.
Well, you know, I don't have to reveal what I'm being paid. It is actually less than £150,000. The reality is, I feel I'm being paid the right rate, the rate that would be comparable with other commercial radio stations around the UK. I would imagine there are people in the BBC who feel that no matter how good Stephen is, and let me emphasise, he is a skilled broadcaster, no matter how good he is, he shouldn't be paid the amount of money that he is being paid in relation to, for example, other skilled journalists at the BBC, like Noel Thompson, Mark Carruthers might be paid.
I think, actually, that is a perfectly justifiable comment. The thing is, obviously, that there'll be people inside the BBC, people who are dispersing this money, who clearly disagree. And that really is, it's a matter of opinion. But what actually worries me slightly about this whole issue is that I would have nothing against the BBC declaring the amount of money they pay to talents. But I think it's wrong for the BBC to be forced to put names to that, because this is private. What you and I earn, we feel, is private. And I think that maybe Mr. Nolan's privacy has been invaded in this. And I don't think it's right. There's nothing wrong with the BBC having to declare the amount of money that's being paid in terms of talent. But having to put names to it, I think there's something not quite right about that.
Do you think it will be a disadvantage to Stephen personally because a lot of his support base, a lot of the people he would claim to champion come from a working class background? He's been a voice for them for many years. They now see him as rolling in it. Will they be up in arms about that, or will they be applauding him from the sidelines?
Two things here. One, the BBC Director General did issue a statement yesterday or the day before, I'm not too sure which, saying, look, all you people who are being named, be prepared for this. You may be subject to trolling online. You may be getting vicious and poisonous messages because of what's being revealed. There's nothing we can do about that. And you will have to deal with it on your own, but you have our permission to deal with it on your own. Now, that is a downside. There's no doubt about that. On the other side, if you take, say, other working class heroes, such as footballers, who are making the kind of money that makes Nolan's paycheck look like spare change, well, it doesn't seem to affect all their regard in that area. So I think they'll judge Nolan more on what he does than what he earns. I think many people, frankly, expect people in the public eye to be earning a lot of money. That is the expectation. That's what celebrity is all about. And I think they understand that.
I think it's also important to emphasise, just on Stephen, what you touched on at the beginning, the amount of work he does. He does work 7 days a week. He works for 7 days a week for a never-ending number of weeks before he takes a break. Whether or not that's good for your health, that's a separate issue.
Yeah,
whether or not
absolutely.
The BBC have, you know, responsibility towards him, a duty of care towards him, that's a debate maybe that's worth having. But he has separate contracts with the BBC on three different platforms. He's obviously got a good negotiator, or he's negotiated it very well himself. So we have to keep in mind that he is putting in serious hours at a very high level in terms of broadcasting audience right across the United Kingdom to gain this reward.
I think many of his friends have actually expressed a similar worry. But in these figures, there's something else lurking which probably will benefit the whole of broadcasting. And that is only a third of this list is women. And you actually touched on it as you were going through the list, saying, I would expect her to have earned more. And I think a lot of people look at this list and say, hey, there's something actually wrong here. The bottom half of the list, now I haven't seen the list myself, but the bottom half of the list, I think, is populated more by women. Only a third of the list is women. And I think that there is going to have to be a rethink. Indeed, the Director General of the BBC has said there is going to be a rethink on how they proportion the earnings between male and female presenters, because it is patently not right to have a male presenter and a female presenter doing practically the same job and being paid differently, women being paid less.
Yeah, there's glaring examples of that. I suppose Fiona Bruce is the best example. She's on just short of £400,000 a year, whereas the male, the male example of John Humphreys or Hugh Edwards are on £600,000 a year. Jeremy Vine is on £750,000 a year. Graham Norton is on £900,000 a year. And then it jumps to Chris Evans, who's on £2.5 million a year. But Fiona Bruce, who would be seen as not only a news presenter, an accomplished journalist, but a presenter of the likes of the Antiques Roadshow, either has a poor negotiator acting on her behalf, or women are not being treated fairly in the BBC.
I think that is the implication. They aren't being treated fairly. And Fiona is very, very versatile indeed. She's a good journalist. She's a good general practitioner of the art of broadcasting. And Antiques Roadshow displays many of her talents in that respect. So, yes, I think you're absolutely right.
And what about the use of public money generally to the level that the BBC are using it, way above what a commercial competitor could possibly pay? Is that not anti-competitive?
Well, I would take issue. I think, in actual fact, the money being paid by the BBC is probably less than what commercial broadcasters are offering to equivalent talent. Now, commercial broadcasters, or indeed, I mean, you're looking at, say, Sky. Sky's got 21,000 employees in the United Kingdom. You're looking at Sky, you're looking at Netflix, you're looking at Amazon Prime, you're looking at Apple. All these people, and indeed even BT is in television, they're all paying quite a lot of money for talent. And the BBC has actually reduced the amount it's been paying talent since 2009. And it certainly is reducing the amount that it has been paying its managers. It's almost halved the number of senior managers in the BBC since 2009. And the same is actually true of the money being paid to them. So the BBC is actually cheaper in real terms than it was 20 years ago. There's cost cutting going on all the time. The amount is going down. And I really don't think that many, I would raise a couple of eyebrows at some of those salaries. I mean, Chris Evans at a couple of million, I find I'm just blinking at that. But you can take what they're expected to do, where they're expected to live, they're at the beck of call all the time. I think a lot of those salaries are frankly okay and what you would expect, except for some of the salaries to move.
At a regional level, do you see more cutbacks within the BBC being inevitable? Because there would be an anti-competitive element, certainly across Northern Ireland, with regards to how public money is spent vis-a-vis in relation to a comparison regarding the commercial sector.
Well, the BBC, there's no doubt about it. I was in the BBC this morning. There are cutbacks all the time. And it's not the end of the process is not in sight. So the amount of money being spent locally is going down all the time. I'm not too sure that that's good news. If you take, for example, the amount of money spent locally on drama, that has been of great benefit to Northern Ireland. And the spin-offs are there. I mean, if you take Game of Thrones, the Northern Ireland now has a name for the production of television drama, which is excellent. And it has been calculated that Game of Thrones, for example, and the spin-offs from it could have earned this place maybe 150 million. It's a lot of money, whatever the amount is. So there are good things, and you know, it's worth actually paying for talent.
And talent, you feel, should be paid for, and the BBC are certainly paying for it at this present moment in time, especially indeed for some of the very well-known males as opposed to the very well-known females. Dawn, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Not at all, Frank. Good to speak to you.
That's media commentator Dawn Anderson, formerly worked with ITV, ITN and the BBC. 28 minutes past 11. Good morning to you. Whatever's on your mind, you can let us know. Are you shocked by the figures, or were they very much in keeping with what you would have expected? The top earners, the likes of, indeed, the very top man is Chris Evans at £2.5 million. Gary Lineker's at £1.75 million. Alan Shearer is back on buttons. He's on $500,000. Sue Barker is on $350,000. Sue Barker is an excellent example, actually. I think she's a prime example of this, where women are earning less. She does so much in relation to the presentation on TV. She's so slick. She's absolutely brilliant at what she does. And she's on £350,000. £350,000. But if we put it in a nutshell, Chris Evans is the highest paid male at £2.5 million almost. The highest paid woman is Claudia Winkleman, and she's on between £450,000 and £499,000. So the women definitely have an issue there. And Stephen Nolan earns more than the highest paid woman anywhere in the United Kingdom.